Go ahead, Ernie.
Okay, I'm here.
All right. All right, test 1, 2.
I'm test, good. Test. I'm good, I guess.
You're good?
Okay. All right.
All right. So, welcome to the Local Spotlight Show here at WJBM Studios in Jerseyville, Illinois, the voice of the Tri-Counties. I am Chris Lorton. I am your host today. And my guest today has got a new book out. He's a singer, songwriter. We met, I don't know, maybe a year ago, something like that.
Well, we met a long time before that, but it's been a long time ago.
Right, just recently.
Recently,
kind of got to know each other.
Again, yeah.
Ernesto Cuevas. Did I pronounce that right?
Yep.
Ernesto Cuevas. Yes, and you live in Michael, Illinois.
Correct.
But started off life in Ohio. And that's what my friend Ernie just has a new book out called A Boy.
The Boy Named Boy.
The Boy Named Boy. And wrote that book, and you got a lot of songs. You were in Ohio, and the crazy thing is that you were abandoned as a baby.
Yeah.
What were you, a couple days old, or how old, do you even know?
I don't even know. Maybe a week. I don't know. Nobody's really told me.
Yeah.
They just said I was, a little bitty baby.
And somebody was passing by an empty house.
Yeah.
And they heard heard this baby crying.
Yeah. They heard some crying, and I don't know if it was somebody going to work or what it was, but they heard some crying, and then they went and I would assume looked in the window or
that's what I would assume
or opened the door, kicked it open, and next thing you know, they come out with me, running out, and I guess they flagged a police officer down or somebody.
And what town was this in Ohio?
In Mansfield, I believe, was the name of the town. That's where I was born.
Was that a small town or
no?
Big
it's
town?
A pretty good size, pretty good size town.
So,
I just don't know exactly where. I just know I was born in Mansfield. I just don't know exactly where they found me. Was it on the outskirts? And, I don't know.
Uh-huh. I've heard of babies. Of course, the old thing is babies being in a basket and put out outside of somebody's front door.
Right.
Yeah. But you weren't even outside a front door.
I don't think I got the luxury of even a basket,
Even a basket.
Might have been a cardboard box. Yeah, I don't know.
Cardboard box.
Thrown out like trash, I guess,
Oh, gosh. That's A Boy Named Boy. So what's up with A Boy Named Boy?
Well, The Boy Named Boy come in because that's all that was on my birth certificate. Once my birth certificate was located through Catholic Charities, that was my name, Boy.
So that's where you went?
That's where I went, Catholic Charities, and they had contacted my parents who adopted me and raised me.
Yeah, so...
That's all that was honored, Boy, and at the bottom of the birth certificate, it was torn off for the mother's name or,
How did they know them? Oh, because you were born in a hospital.
I was born in a hospital... Well, I was born in Mansfield General.
Uh-huh.
So they had to have done some kind of investigating on down. I don't know. She might have went to jail over it. I don't know. I just found all this stuff out within the last 10 years from a couple aunts of mine. And these two aunts of mine, one lived in South Texas, and the other one lived in Ohio. Neither one knew each other.
So let's start from the beginning. Okay.
Uh-huh.
Okay. You're adopted into a family, and it's a Mexican family.
Yeah.
Right. Tell me a little bit about your parents that adopted you.
Yeah, my parents. They took us in. They already had two other children that were one was a year older. My sister Rachel and my brother Robert. He's a year older than her. They were in the process of adopting them at the time.
From Catholic Charities?
From Catholic Charities. They hadn't adopted them yet. And that's when they received a phone call that they had just acquired another kid. Do they want him? And that was me.
Yeah, you get three for the price of nothing. Yeah,
probably. I was probably a freebie.
But, we're going to throw this one in.
Yeah, we'll throw this one in for free because he's a better looking one.
Oh, shoot.
And Yeah. So, you know, they raised us. And
the other, okay, the brother and sister that were adopted, you're in a Mexican family, and they are Mexican.
They are full-blooded Mexican. Yeah, they're just as Mexican as you can get.
Yeah.
And look like they snuck over here, basically, you know. But no, they're a real Mexican. Here, I had blonde hair when I was a little kid.
Yeah.
You know, and I stuck out like a sore thumb, you know. It was pretty obvious that even me when I was little, I knew I didn't belong. I just thought, there's something not right here. At a young age, I knew something wasn't right.
Yeah. Yeah.
I look like nobody.
Yeah.
You know, and everybody's got dark and black hair and kinky and what's up?
Your family, everybody you knew in the family.
Everybody. I mean, yeah, just about everybody, you know. Everybody was Mexicans.
And what'd they call you?
They called me Huero.
Huero.
Means white boy. Yeah. Or pale boy, yeah. White boy. Huero. That was my nickname on both sides of the family.
Yeah.
And it didn't bother me because that was just my nickname, you know.
At what age did you start figuring out that you didn't, that something was wrong? Or what are some first incidents you remember?
I remember like in school, you know, kids are cruel, you know.
Yeah.
And whenever they get mad or, you know, you get into it with somebody, next thing you know, they're calling you racial names, which I was called the N-word. I was called wetback. I was called, you know, because they knew my family was Mexican, so that they had to throw something at me, you know, which it just, you know, fired me up and I'm ready to fight. You know, that's the way I was. But
I can remember when I was a young kid going to school and you like people calling you names. When I was real little, there was a lot of words and names that I had no idea what they were, but I knew they were bad.
Yeah.
Right. And I didn't have any ammunition. Mm-hmm. So this one kid, he was running off all these bad words and stuff, and I didn't know what any of it meant. So I called him. I go, "You know what you are?" He goes, "What?" I said, "You're an orthodontist." Boy, that threw him for a loop.
Yeah, go look that one up.
Anyway.
But but for the most part, I mean, there was only like one or two Mexican families in the area where I grew up, you know. So we were pretty well known, you know, for being Mexican. And my mom used to make really good food. She'd make tortillas handmade, and people used to buy them off her. So she was popular for that, you know. And we were, "Hey, when's your mom going to make them taco shells again?" So, you know, you get a bunch of white people making tacos. Mom used to show people how to make them the right way, you know.
And, right.
But, yeah, it was cool. I mean, growing up there, we ate good. You know, food was great every day, you know.
And then on through grade school, I mean, at what point in time did you learn that you were adopted? Because it was kind of kept a secret, according to the book.
Yeah, it was a secret. We weren't supposed to say it. Well, we didn't know anything about it till one day somebody came knocked on our door. And I was probably, I don't know, 8 or 9 years old. And it was a guy, and I opened the door, and I looked at this guy, and I thought, man, this guy looks familiar. Well, he looked like my brother, you know, that was in the house.
Yeah.
But I didn't put it together that quick. I'm like, who's this guy? Then he comes in. Mm-hmm. My mom comes walking up, and she, like she knew him. "Mike, you know, come on in." I'm like, who's this Mike guy? Well, he was AWOL from the Navy. And he was my brother and sister who I grew up with. He was one of their real siblings, biological siblings.
So he looked him up to find him?
He found him. He went AWOL from the Navy and went to go look up all his siblings.
How many did he have?
I'm thinking there were 16.
Whoa.
Something like that. 16 kids in that family.
Wow.
If I'm not mistaken, I think that's what I was told.
And they were distributed all over?
All over.
Wow.
Yeah, my brother and sister, they came from the same family.
Uh-huh.
So he got them both. You know, he found them both. And then he's the one who brought up the fact that I'm your brother, you know. And, you know, we're like, what? Uh-huh. You know, then mom and dad sat us all down and says, yeah, you guys were adopted. And
they told you were adopted then, too?
They told me, too, that we were all adopted. But they said, but Ernie, you're not you weren't from the same family. You know, this is their family. And I'm like, okay.
Where am I from?
Yeah. And that was one of my next questions. But then we were told, you know, just keep it between us. Don't tell nobody. We don't want nobody to know.
Yeah.
I'm like,
how are they not going to know?
What's the big secret? I've been accused of being adopted my whole life. You know, and whenever I'd get in trouble, I'd go tell people, you know, I'll show them, you know, I'd go tell people. And I'd tell people I was adopted. And then, you know, mom never knew I was doing that, but I'd tell people. I thought, I'm going to show them, you know.
Hey, if you're just joining us, I have Ernesto Cuevas with me. He lives in Michael, Illinois. Grew up in East Alton, right?
Granite. I'm a Mitchell boy.
Yeah. Born in Ohio, abandoned as a child, a musician. So you go through grade school, high school.
Went through everything in Granite. Me and my wife, you know, Patty, we've been together for, 41 years right now. But I decided I went to college.
How old were you and got married?
20, I think.
Okay.
Yeah.
You were young.
Yeah. But I went to college for not even a full year. I was going to be in law enforcement. I went to BAC, and it just didn't work out for me. I didn't like school to start with, and I thought, and then college, it's just, sociology, psychology, criminology, I'm done, mm-hmm. you know. Plus, we were spending a lot of time in the parking lot, you know, partying, being a bunch of the guys, so my academics weren't there. So,
understandable.
I told my dad, I said, you know what, I don't want to waste any more of your money on college that I don't feel like doing. I'm going to go in the Army. And that's what I did. I joined the military.
Which branch?
I went in the Army.
In the Army.
Yeah.
Okay. And how'd that go?
It went well. I spent several years in there. And, you know, I'm a disabled vet now. I mean, I got to see a little bit of stuff in there, you know. And
how'd you get disabled?
Well, I got stabbed up, you know. Ouch. I've been in a bombing. I mean, I've been in several different conflicts, you know, that kind of put me where I'm at, but I'm okay. I mean, I'm able to get around, you know.
You got a stabbing. So what happened? What was it? What's the story on
that?
Well,
we were in the process of apprehending a guy. We had a call. I was patrolling, actually, the wall in Berlin.
Okay.
And MPs knew who we were, you know, that we were out on patrol. And then they were after a guy that had gone bad in the military.
One of our guys,
and he was spotted in a location. So they asked for some backup, some assistance. So they called me and another couple other soldiers, and we went in.
What do you mean went bad?
Well, he pretty much left the military. Pretty well, I guess he went AWOL. Just never went back to formation. Just.
Okay.
Just turned into a civilian on his own.
Okay. And went looking for him.
And we went looking for him. Evidently he was spotted somewhere. So we went to this place and we go in there and I see him, you know, I'm the first one in the building. I see him. He goes out the back door and I go ahead and go through the building. And as I'm going out the back door, there is these long plastic, real thick plastic sheets like you see at a butcher shop.
Oh, yeah.
To keep the cold air. Yeah. Keep all the cold air.
You can walk through them.
But they
keep the air out.
And that's the way it was in Berlin because it was so cold there a lot of times.
Yeah.
And a lot of these nightclubs or whatever, they had them at the doors. So when you open the door, it's not just cold air coming in or all the heat going out.
Mm-hmm.
So as soon as I went through that, I got a knife in the gut, you know.
Ouch.
So it was on. I didn't know I got stabbed. At the time, I had no idea, but it was on. There was three guys on me, so yeah. I had to break in my training, you know, and use it.
Did it come to you automatically?
It came to me automatically, and I was able to
take on three of them.
I took on all three of them. I got stabbed up seven times.
Whoa.
But I didn't know I was being stabbed, you know.
Your adrenaline was going
My
so much?
Adrenaline, I was just beating shit out of these guys, you know. It was on. And I ended up knocking
What'd
one.
What'd you have in defense? What'd you have? Just your fists?
Yeah, my fists and my feet. Yeah. Oh. I had a 9mm on me, but I never pulled it out.
No kidding.
Yeah, because it was just, you know, it was hands-on at the time. I mean, I guess I could have, but at the time it was going on so fast, I didn't have time.
Uh-huh.
You know what I mean? I mean, if I'd have been on the ground, but I never did get on the ground. Yeah. They ended up all on the ground. I ended up paralyzing one guy. I knocked him in the neck so damn hard where, you know, he's done.
Yeah. And when you think about it, when you have that much adrenaline going.
Oh, I was ready to.
Oh, you could be so strong and so fast and so mean. Well, you know, when you're thinking you're going to die.
Well, then when I realized I was stabbed, I mean, I could feel the blood coming out of me. I'm thinking, what the heck? So I opened my shirt and I got blood rolling out of me everywhere. I thought, oh, shit. And I go, this isn't good, you know? So these guys are all knocked out. So I knew I was good there. I didn't have to worry about them because they're all laying on the ground. And the last guy I just got done stomping with all my weight, both of my feet on his face.
Oh, my.
Up and down.
Did you kill him?
I tried to because I thought I was going to die. Yeah. I mean, I realized I'm all cut up. I'm bleeding, you know. And then the guy that was with me, Krukenberg, I think, something like that. But he grabbed me, pulls me off. He goes, you're going to kill him, Cuevas. I said, well, I'm trying to. You know, the guy tried to kill. They just tried to kill me.
Yeah.
And so next thing you know, I calmed down. I knew I better calm down because I'm going to bleed out.
Yeah.
So I sat there on the curb. And then it seemed like right now, here come the German ambulance.
Yeah.
And the Polizei, the police. And they pull up and I got up. Walked into their ambulance, and they started taking my clothes off. And I remember seeing them take my boots off, and just they were full of blood, and just dumping. I'm thinking, oh boy,
yeah.
And there was people that was there, and they were just plugging all my holes with socks and tearing their t-shirts off. This is while I was sitting on the curb. They were plugging all the holes up on me. I thought, man, appreciate it. You know, I felt fine. I wasn't in no pain. But then I could start feeling my...
But that's the adrenaline probably,
the right? Adrenaline was still going, but then I could start feeling my breathing was like, you know, it was hard to take a deep breath because I got stabbed in the lung.
Oh.
And I'm like, okay, I got a lung puncture, so I need to take short breaths, you know. So I'm taking small breaths, and I'm calm, and just looking at these guys laying on the ground, I'm thinking, man, I don't know if I killed this guy or not, you know. And but I didn't care because I thought I'm probably not gonna live through this. And then next thing you know, I made it. 3 days later, I wake up in the hospital and I couldn't hardly move. I couldn't breathe. I had tubes sticking out of my chest. Gosh. You know, I'm like, God, what the heck happened?
How old were you?
Oh, I don't know. I was probably
early 20s.
Yeah, maybe like 23.
Gosh.
24.
Yeah.
Yeah. Man. But I went through that, and I went through that Berlin bombing, you know, and the LaBelle's Disco, where, you know.
You were there when that happened?
I was there when that happened. I watched people blow. I went there to see a guy I knew, a friend of mine. He was from another battalion, and it blew the plastic explosives on the floor, blew right where he was dancing, right on the dance floor.
Oh, man.
I just got there.
Just walked in.
It blew me out the door.
Whoa.
And I was able to come back in and help.
This happened after the stabbings?
This happened after.
After the stabbings?
Mm-hmm.
I thought you'd been, were you out of the service then? Were you on leave? Were you still serving?
I was still serving.
You were?
Yeah.
You came back serving. From all the stabbings?
Yeah,
huh?
I was still serving. Took me a little while. I had to walk with the cane for a little bit because I got stabbed behind the knee. You know, when the guy's on the ground, he stabbed me in the back of the leg, and I didn't know it. But, you know, I made it.
Hey, there are some good stories in this book, isn't
there? Oh, there are some good ones. Yeah,
some good stories. You survived.
I'm a
survivor. And you living now in Michael on a farm.
Yeah.
And
playing music, writing songs. All that will be on the website if anybody wants to look up ErnestoCuevas.com. You can get the book. You can get the music. It's on audio book in English and in Spanish. Hard cover. what do they call it, paperback, and then something else.
Yeah. And we play your songs on the radio Sunday nights. We do local vocal show and always got one of your songs going for the night. And you play?
I don't play as much as I used to. I just haven't really had time. A lot of the guys in my old band, hell, they all died, you know. And the new guys in the band I have now, they're kind of scattered out everywhere. And they play in other bands, so I can't really say it's my band. But when we do play, I got the guys to call, and we're together.
What do you do on the farm, on your farm now?
Well, we got chickens and rabbits right now, but we're not really doing any livestock. We just hunt. I do taxidermy work on the side, you know.
Taxidermy?
Yeah, I still dabble in it.
You do taxidermy work, raise those chickens, and write books, do songs.
Yeah, yeah. I got a second book coming out here.
Okay.
Yeah, they've already started the printing on it.
What's the name of it?
It's called The Hunter in Her.
The Hunter in Her.
Yeah.
Okay.
It's a good one. I had spoke to my publisher, and he says, Ernie, now that you're an author, you know, you could do another book. And I told him, I said, this was on a Friday. I go, you know what? I don't really see me writing another book. All I had was a memoir, you know, that's all I know, just about me. And then he says, well, you're an author. And he goes, if the book goes well, he goes, the second book, it'll go well as well. And I said, well, we'll see, but I don't really see it. Well, then that Saturday, that very next night, I had a dream. Yeah. And I dreamed another full book.
I'll be darned.
From start to finish.
And you wrote it.
And I wrote it. I woke my wife up that morning. I said, you got to listen to this.
And I got a story to tell you.
I got a story to tell you. And I go, you're not going to believe it. And it's a good one.
Well, fantastic.
It's fiction, but it's a good one.
Well, Ernie, believe it or not, we ran out of time.
Hey.
But thank you so much for coming in the studio today. And all those, if they want to get one of your books, they go on Amazon and find your book?
Go on Amazon.
The Boy Named Boy.
The Boy Named Boy, or my website, Ernesto, Ernesto Cuevas, Cuevas.com.
Well, thanks, Ernie. Have a great day.
Thanks, Chris.